We have come, dear friends, to the funeral service of our late friend, Mary Morris. We give our sympathies to her dear brother, David, to the immediate cousins and the wider family. May the Lord be present with us and sanctify this time for the good of our souls. I'll read from the Holy Scriptures various things which have a direct application to the life and the death of our late friend. I'll begin by reading in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 to 18. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then are the children partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." And now some verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 20 to 28. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Came to me were a few verses in Zephaniah, the prophecy of Zephaniah 14 to 18. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. We have just a couple of other isolated verses in Ecclesiastes and in the Psalms. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And just finally, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, this is of John's vision of heaven, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Our dear friend, Mary, was born with her twin brother David, who we're so thankful to see, to be able here with us today. Born on the 15th of August, 1946, 1 year after the end of the Second World War. The family were living in the chapel house at Clifton, where her father was the pastor of the Strict Baptist Church there. When Mary was 9 years old, her father resigned the pastorate and The family moved towards the village of Henlow. And in that house, Mary then lived for the rest of her life. A quiet, sheltered life, centred much upon the worship of God. She was involved very little with outdoor activities. I suppose we could easily say that Mary did not commit anything sinful in an outward sense. But she grew to realise the sinfulness of her own heart and mind before a holy God. She knew she was far from perfect. Her writings are fairly extensive, containing much of her dependence upon God for forgiveness of her sins and for his help in her daily life. In December 1958, at the age of 12 years, the Lord appeared in mercy to Mary's soul. She writes, not at that time, but later on looking back, "I shall never forget hearing a Mr. Pilgrim preach at Hope Chapel, Stotfold, from Ephesians 2, verse 10. I feel unable to describe the effect of this sermon that it had upon me, but an effect it certainly did." Under the influence of the Holy Spirit's teaching, it drew her in love to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of her sins, and to humbly constrain her to seek to serve him with all her heart and mind all her days. She never forgot this blessing, but she often longed for a return of the sweetness of it as her life continued. Of her daily life at that time as a young girl, she writes, "I believe the dear Lord helped me through school at Eatonbury." That's the middle school along the road from Stotfold to Clifton. She said, "I was a sparrow alone." She felt she could not enter into the activities of her peers. At the age of 15, she started a secretarial course at the Mander College, Bedford. She writes, "I was very fearful of the future path. With tears I cried, 'If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence.'" She said, "I humbly believe the Lord did go with me and preserved me from surrounding evils. But more than that, even though she felt she was the least qualified for the course, at the end of the first year, she was awarded second prize. And at the end of the second year, first prize. At the end of when she completed her course, she ended with top marks. And after 4 months of seeking a job and many prayers," she says, "she took up employment in the X-ray department at the Bedford Hospital." She started her extensive writings on the beginning of January 1983, at the age of 37. These writings continue for 30 years until 2013, with one last insert in 2023. Her writings predominate in her desire for the Lord to bless her again, as he had done when she was 12 years old. At the beginning, she writes out one of her many prayers: "Do grant me, Lord, true godly repentance, much humility and love and supplies of every grace. Let me not be satisfied with anything but thyself. Teach me to pray. O come again. Leave not my soul destitute. Draw me to thy precious feet. Save me from myself and all evil. Lead me in the way everlasting. I beg for Jesus' sake. The last day of that same year, regarding her daily life, she writes, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. But prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. And in her writings we find that eternity was very much with her. She loved the word of God. She especially valued the ministers, the church ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She wrote many, many gracious letters to them, often including a financial gift. And sometimes, if they had children, there would be little tokens of sweets for them. Although she was not wealthy, she gave freely to many that came into specific needs. She copied out many hymns and articles from religious magazines, especially the Sower magazines, which were special to her. And she often sent them to those whom she felt would be benefited by them. But 1987 was a year of great affliction for Mary. Her mother became very ill. She writes, after months of earnest prayer for direction, pleading the scripture, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. She felt it was right to give up her work at the hospital and to look after her mother. She said, I left on the last day of June 1987 after working there 24 years. On that morning, Mary woke and opened her Bible, and it opened, as we might say, randomly on the first book of Chronicles, chapter 17, containing the words of King David as he sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And she felt the word was very suitable that the Lord had brought her to this day, to this time, and he would be with her. That same year, though, Mary was treated herself for anemia. And the next year she was diagnosed with a grossly underactive thyroid, in addition to rheumatoid arthritis. She prayed for the precious grace of submission to all of the Lord's will. She loved the hymn book, which we use, and often referred to hymn 344. That particular verse, if once the love of God we feel upon our hearts impressed, the mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. Yet she had a longing soul for more assurance. Lord, she said, make me ready for eternity. Her mother died on the 5th of October 1991. After 3 weeks in hospital, Mary prayed, Lord, save me. Make me a true follower. Do sanctify this great trial for my real good. And on the 14th of December that same year, exactly the day when, many years earlier, when she was 12, the Lord had blessed her with his love in her soul, she heard a sermon preached by a minister, Mr. Ernest Rowe, who lived in Stotfold. He was one who was asked to be a pastor here, but he declined and went to the south. But on this occasion he preached from the Gospel of Matthew 12, verses 31 to 32. That's the most solemn verses about the unforgivable sin. That if we sin against the Holy Ghost, there is no forgiveness. She said, I trembled. That night I fell on my knees and cried for mercy and longed for an assurance that it is well with my soul and will be when my soul shall die, shall come to my last. Her writings continue along this vein. That sermon had a great effect upon her regarding her need of salvation. She mentions more than once the favourite hymn, her favourite hymn of Anne Steele, number 957, concerning the gracious hand of the Lord upon which I live, doth life and time and death command, and hath eternal joys to give. One Sunday evening, in July 2008, she and David suffered a great distressing occurrence when there was an attempted break-in at their home. Three youths tried to beat down the door. David resisted them from the inside. Mary called the police. The youths eventually went away, leaving a badly damaged door. But Mary and David were kept safe. On the previous Wednesday at the midweek service, the hymn 346 had been sung, A Sovereign Protector I Have. It is amazing how David was given strength to withstand the force of three youths forcing down the door. Mary writes of her thanksgivings to God. A couple of years later, the prayers of her soul became increasingly urgent. Short, urgent prayers. Lord, help me. Oh, don't leave me. Oh, prepare me for my dying hour. Prepare me for all afflictions. Her bodily strength did begin to gradually deteriorate with those afflictions that she had. And over the following years, she became more dependent upon outside help and care. The middle of last year, her mind became sorely affected, and she became greatly tempted by Satan that she would soon go to hell. As I, among others, read the scriptures to her and prayed with her, she says, that's not for me. There's no hope for me. She had severe temptations in her mind that she, and she became quite convinced of it, that she'd killed a young child of one of our congregation, and that she had written dreadful letters to me. She never explained in detail what those things were. But she was greatly afflicted by Satan and trembled more than once, saying, I'm going to go to hell tonight. She refused to eat. She refused to drink. She would not talk. And it was difficult to get her to move. And so she was taken into a mental health unit for treatment. After a while, she improved sufficiently to enter the Elmside care home. And after a time, she had again to return to the mental health unit for further treatment. For again, she was saying she would go to hell on those particular nights. How dreadful was her tribulation of soul, that there was no hope for her in her God. She was too great a sinner. There was little that the mental health team could achieve. But Mary eventually, towards the last year and the beginning of this, she became a little less agitated. And the Elmside care home kindly took her back in. At the beginning of February, she became very unwell physically and was taken into hospital at Stevenage. Was diagnosed she had fluid on her lungs. One lung had collapsed. She had heart failure. Pneumonia set in. It was doubted whether she would last that night. But she did. And for a few days following that, albeit it was on oxygen. And dear friends, those last days were most remarkable. She listened quietly to the Bible readings and the prayers made alongside her. Friends and relatives had some sweet, sensible communication with her. She began to ask various questions and had a conversation. Two friends staying with her in the early hours of the morning of the day she died, found Mary able to communicate with them for a time. Gripping their hands. Oh, this was a type of communication, what went on. It was said to Mary, "Mary, do you feel you can say those everlasting arms are around you?" Mary responded with a significant nod. It was said, "That's precious, isn't it?" Mary gave a smile and a significant nod. She was asked, "Do you feel you have a hope you are on the rock?" Mary gave a smile with a significant nod. Verse 1 of hymn number 174 was read to her. That's the hymn we're going to sing at the end of this service. The first verse was read to her and Mary opened her eyes and was clearly listening. "Do you feel he is precious, Mary?" "Yes," she said, so emphatically. Verse 2 was read. "That's nice, isn't it?" "Yes," she said. "You don't need natural food now, do you, Mary?" "No," said Mary with a shake of her head. "But you still need Jesus, don't you?" Mary replied an emphatic yes. Mary tired again and her eyes closed. The last verse was read. "In glory, Lord, may I be found, and with thy gracious mercy crowned. Join the glad song, and there adore a precious Christ for evermore." That's lovely, isn't it, Mary? And she gave a faint nod and a little yes. That was really the end of her communications. She now had no fears of dying. Satan had fled. She lay peacefully on her bed and breathed her last on Friday the 6th of February at 4:15 p.m. forever with the Lord. Dear friends, it's custom for there to be at a service like this some preaching of the gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But I believe there's no need for that this morning. The witness of Mary, her life and her end, is a sermon in itself. It's a real commentary, isn't it, on the truth of God the Father in heaven, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to this earth to suffer for the sins of his people, and which is revealed in the sinner's heart by the Holy Ghost. And that truth is maintained that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. She had many trials, tribulations regarding her soul, but she proved the promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So Jesus, oh how precious he is to all the souls that believe. Thou redeemed not with silver and gold, the precious things of this life, but with the precious blood of Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for their sins. To Mary, she believed. Her witness has been, he is precious.